Welcome to Conversations with Dr. Stephen Greer. It's brought to you by the World Pooja Network, and I'd like to thank the folks at the World Pooja Network for hosting us on this show. I'm joined today by Linda Willits, who will be having a conversation with me about some of the amazing experiences we've had in our contact work through CSETI. You can find out more about that at cseti.org. And we will also be discussing some of the implications for disclosure in light of the new administration, President Obama, being inaugurated this week. And you can see more about what we're doing at Disclosure at disclosureproject.org. That's disclosureproject.org, all one word. So thank you, Linda, for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Well, one of the things I wanted to sort of in an introductory way is make a few comments about how important this sort of new era is that we've entered, and that is that we've sort of closed the chapter on 8 years of very dysfunctional secrecy and denial, and an administration that had quite a penchant for keeping things secret and operating in a secret way. We're hopeful that the new administration will live up to its pledge that was made this week to be more transparent and open and disclosing. And so we will be involved in making recommendations to them towards that end. One of the key reasons why this needs to happen is, and I've mentioned this before, is that the secrecy on the UFO and extraterrestrial issue has embedded within it a number of complex problems, which is now caught up with the world in a very major way. Number one, we have a rogue, unsupervised, militaristic entity, not just in the U.S., but internationally, that has lied to previous presidents and to members of Congress, as well as to leaders in the British government and other nations, and has militarized the relationship between humans and these extraterrestrial visitors, which was a catastrophic decision that occurred in the 1940s and 50s, from which we have never recovered. So we are now 60 years into a period where the legitimate leaders of the democracies of the world and the people's representatives of the world have not dealt with this. And for that reason, in 1990, CSETI was formed, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And as I said, you can see more about that at cseti.org. Because I knew that these visitors from other planetary systems were here, that they were not hostile, and that the whole matter was being very badly managed, and that the public was not only being misinformed on it, but deliberately disinformed, and that there was a covert program that was targeting these extraterrestrial vehicles with very advanced weapon systems that are electromagnetic in nature, and on a few occasions have successfully destroyed them or downed them. And that this was a real existential threat to the peace of the world, and that we as enlightened people on this planet had an obligation to show to the world another face of humanity, the side of humanity that is the hopeful and progressive and enlightened face of humanity, rather than only the paranoid and militaristic and violent aspect of humanity. And certainly human history has both components within it, but unfortunately on this particular subject, we have not had any kind of open and transparent and peaceful initiative to organize people around the world for peaceful contact with these visitors until 1990 when CSETI was formed. And since that time, we have had literally hundreds of encounters and interactions with these extraterrestrial civilizations that have been witnessed by literally thousands of people. We are working on a book that will summarize our experiences, which we hope will come out this year. I'd hoped it would come out last year, but I got too busy with the OrionProject.org and other projects. But it's important for people to understand that ultimately the people's representatives and leaders around the world need to also deal with this, that a nonprofit NGO or non-governmental organization such as CSETI.org can only do so much, and that we have got to get the leaders of the world engaged in this problem in a way that is productive and that is helpful. And I just recently read that Senator Claiborne Pell, who was quite a supporter of what we were wanting to achieve, had passed away very recently. And I remember meeting him with my wife back in the 1990s in California when he was still the senator who was in charge of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And this senator, who started the Pell Grants that so many of us went to college on, was a man of just tremendous integrity and vision, who wanted to know about this subject but had never been given access to the information through official channels, even though he was one of the most senior senators in the United States, in the most powerful country in the world. And when I met with him, I remember being with him out on this patio at this home, this beautiful home out in San Rafael, California, actually right next to George Lucas's ranch. And we were out there on this patio with Senator Pell. And, you know, he said to me, you know, I've wanted to know about this since I entered Congress in the 1950s. And been a senator for several decades now, and we have never gotten any satisfactory answers to our inquiries on this. And I said, yes, Senator, I understand that's the case. I have met with the CIA director and other senior members of Congress, and they've all have the same story to tell, that there's this sort of blockade of the people's representatives from knowing about this, and this is what we're trying to fix. And he then said, well, would you, you know, come and brief my staff and give me information on this? I said, certainly I will, anytime. And then I looked at him and I said, you know, you are the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and you have been deprived of dealing with the ultimate foreign relations issue. And I pointed to the stars above our head as we stood at night on this patio, and he looked at me through his horn-rimmed glasses and said, well, Dr. Greer, I'm afraid you might be right. And I said, yeah, I am. And this is one of the real tragedies of the 20th century, is that some of our enlightened leaders who sort of epitomized noblesse oblige and real concern for the world and who were very progressive were never given the ability to even know about the subject, much less deal with it properly. And so we have to hope and pray, and I hope everyone joins me in this hope and in this prayer, that the new administration is guided to handle this appropriately and to work with other nations around the world, and indeed even with the United Nations, to establish a initiative to make peaceful contact with these visitors and to get control of these illegal and rogue militaristic programs that have put a very bad face of humanity forward to these visitors, that it's really time for a big change. And we have to hope that Mr. Obama and his team are up to the challenge.
Well, at least Claiborne Pell, Senator Pell, is working with us from the other side now.
That's right. He's in another play in the worlds of light, and I'm sure he's very aware of what we're doing and what the truth is. And, you know, it's often been said that those who pass on into the worlds of light are the leaven which raise up this world through mysterious means. And I think that's very true. And I think for that reason, you know, we can hope that some of the folks who know about this can work in seen and unseen and perhaps mysterious ways to open the doors for this. I will say, I cannot name which government this is, that for the last couple of years there is a government in Europe, one of the G7 countries, who have reached out to us, who want to start an initiative to make contact on a long-term project, I'm quoting from a document from their Ministry of Defense, to open up contact with these visitors where CSETI and our senior team would be the lead ambassador team for them to initiate a contact and a landing so that the head of state of this country and a lot of the leaders of Europe would be able to be present at an event where these extraterrestrial civilizations would be present. And this is something which has gone quite a bit into discussion and planning mode, but has been held up due to, I'm quite certain, a concern over the sort of ruthless enforcement of secrecy and support for secrecy that the Bush-Cheney administration had enforced. And I think that now that we have a new start and a new beginning, that there is at least a potential for positive motion forward. But I say potential because it's going to take a great deal of courage for anyone to deal with this. One of the things, if you go to disclosureproject.org, you'll see we have a link up to Colin Andrews' recent report about how the British monarchy and the British leaders, including the prime ministers of Great Britain, were systematically lied to about this subject. As you know, many of you from reading our books, and if you haven't, you can get them at disclosureproject.org. We recount this one event in England back in the 90s where a 100-foot diameter extraterrestrial disc, spacecraft, hovered in a field with us. And this actually got reported to the officials and I subsequently got reports to the British royal family and the prime minister. But when they made inquiries through the channels of government, just as President Clinton had been lied to and other presidents had been lied to, they were lied to about the extent of the operations dealing with this. And so there's this disconnect. Many people don't realize that just because you're the prime minister of Great Britain or the president of the United States or the CIA director or a senior member of the Senate, that in almost all cases they do not have information on this subject that is accurate and honest. And this is one of the reasons why we need the support of the public for the Disclosure Project. Disclosureproject.org has reached millions of people with this information, and we continue to do briefings for senior officials around the world on this and give advice because, astonishingly, we have a better archive and more access to information through our over 500 top-secret military whistleblowers that we have in the Disclosure Project than the President or the Prime Minister of Great Britain or a senator on the Senate Intelligence Committee has. And they are in a bubble where they never get the information correctly. And even if they make an inquiry into the subject, as President Clinton did, they are lied to. And this is one of the great tragedies of and failures of democracy in the last 60 years. And this is exactly what President Eisenhower warned us about when he left office in January of 1961. And now we're talking, of course, 48 years ago, when he said, beware of the military-industrial complex because it will become a threat to our security, our way of life, and our democracy. And he said that not because he was anti-military, he was a five-star general, but because he had seen this very secretive organization evolve, which was called MJ-12 or Majestic, that took control of these programs, lied to him, betrayed the president, and then subsequently has deceived or lied to every president since then. And it has its corollaries in other developed countries around the world where they engage in the same activity. So this is a very worrisome sort of transnational covert program that has gotten completely out of control that President Obama needs to rein back in. get the assets back under control. He needs to order the stand down of any weaponization of space and any targeting of these extraterrestrial vehicles. He needs to form an international effort working with the other peoples of the world to establish peaceful contact with these visitors, modeled on the CSETI approach, which we are happy to advise them on and are doing so. And he also needs to facilitate the release of the extraordinary energy technologies which have been kept secret in these programs, and which is one of the central reasons for the secrecy, is because obviously anyone who has seen one of these, quote, UFOs, they will tell you that they don't have any sound and they're moving at enormous speeds and can be going 20,000 miles per hour and make a right-hand turn without it decelerating and go straight up at thousands of miles per hour against gravity without any problem. You're not dealing with normal jet engines or rockets. You're not dealing with internal combustion engines or fossil fuels. You're dealing with a whole new physics and science, which has been studied now since long before the so-called Roswell event. It has actually began to be studied in the early part of the 1900s. And these technologies are sitting in projects that we, the people, the taxpayers, have funded, and yet we're still talking about clean coal and biofuels and wind and solar and rebuilding the whole electric grid to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars, when every home and car and business and factory in America could be running on free energy, clean energy coming out of the quantum vacuum field around us, the zero-point energy field around us, and would require absolutely no supply line of energy or transmission lines. We wouldn't even need the electric grid. So, you know, this is the real reason, one of the real reasons for the secrecy, is because it's a multi-hundred trillion dollar asset base of oil and gas and coal and transmission lines and public utilities that would become unnecessary. And yet, this is the bold change we need. We need to actually have everyone contact the office of the president and refer them to disclosureproject.org and the orionproject.org. Write these down, the orionproject.org and disclosureproject.org. Write the president. He wants to hear from the people, and tell him that the information that he needs on the energy problem, on disclosure, and on how to make contact with the ETs is all in there. And he needs to understand that the people, 80% of whom believe that the UFOs are real and that the government's been lying to them, or some component of the government has been lying to them, are expecting real action by this administration, in concert with the French and the British and the United Nations and the Chinese and nations all over the world, to move this subject forward in a clear and definitive way. And this is really the big change we're waiting for. I have to say, the advice he's been getting on the energy arena has been horrific. I mean, you know, you hear them talking about clean coal, which is such a ridiculous idea, or biofuels, which is another horrible idea, you know, where you take basically one step forward and three step backwards, and even wind and solar, as good as they are, you can't deliver them to the large cities without recreating the entire electric grid to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars, when for less money than that, you could put one of these free energy generators in every home and business in America, and no one would ever have an electric bill again, ever. So I think that we have to have some really new thinking that is brought into this, and that's why the president and his administration need to hear from we the people.
Well, we've seen so many things happening that are heralding this new era. Things are tumbling into place, but at the same time, as you said, the forces that are working against it happening are also mobilizing. So that's why we really need to get busy to make it happen.
Absolutely. And one of my greatest concerns is that, you know, as this new president, who's basically my generation, I mean, he's about 6 years difference in age from me, and is very forward-looking, But, you know, they get surrounded by policy people from the old guard and from the establishment, and they get surrounded in the presidential bubble, just like members of Congress do. And they don't have access to good information. And often they have people embedded in the bureaucracy of the federal government that they're taking the reins of who are placed there to deliberately deceive the president and deliberately deceive members of Congress and to lie to them. And so the only way that that can be corrected in a democracy is to have a free exchange of ideas. He needs to hear from all of you who are listening. Don't sit and just listen to this. Get on his website at the White House and tell him to look into the OrionProject.org and DisclosureProject.org and CSETI.org. He will, if he hears from enough of you. And I think what you have to understand is that they are going to want to hear from the people on these important issues. And it isn't only about the fact that we're not alone in the universe. It's also about how are we going to create a sustainable, peaceful civilization on Earth that can exist for more than another 20 to 50 years. It isn't going to be with an electric grid like they're talking about propping up. It isn't going to be using coal. It isn't going to be using biofuels in an internal combustion engine. It isn't going to be, because there's no way that 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 billion people can live on this planet using those old systems. And as Einstein said, and I'm paraphrasing, no problem can be solved from the level of consciousness that created it. And so we have to have a whole new level of consciousness in thinking about these enormous problems and challenges that face our civilization. And that isn't going to happen from people who are coming from the establishment and the conventional wisdom thinking of people who are, you know, physicists with major government-funded laboratories, such as he has surrounding him. So, you know, the president is going to continue to get atrocious advice on the energy issue and a number of other issues unless he hears from the people and they refer him to people who have expertise in the real alternative energy world and the alternative world of thinking, because otherwise it's going to be this sort of incrementalism where there'll be this little nibbling around the edges of the problem, but the fundamental problem that we have won't be addressed. And the fundamental problem we have is a lack of democracy, a lack of disclosure, excessive secrecy that Eisenhower warned us about, and the active and ongoing suppression and lack of support of these earth-saving and liberating technologies. One thing I want to talk about, since we have the first African-American president in history, is that the world today actually is living under a type of plantation slavery economic system that is run by a relative handful of people for their benefit. And there are a few hundred corporations and individuals who really control the global economy and the wealth of the planet, who are tied into the fossil fuel petrodollar interest, and that the masses of the people of the world are impoverished specifically because of the way we're living, the type of technology and industrial system and economic system we have. That isn't going to change. And so I would suggest to this president, and here's a concept for people to just meditate on, that there be another Emancipation Proclamation by this president to lift the shackles of economic slavery from the people of the world and to liberate these technologies that have been kept secret. And this would be the tide that will lift all ships. And this is what would set the people of not just the United States, but of the entire world free from want and free from poverty and free from the economic slavery, which has been enforced to the benefit of a relatively small number of people. And that it would be an act akin to Abraham Lincoln, who is one of his role models, declaring the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863.
That's amazing. That's a wonderful approach to take with him.
I think this is exactly what we have to say to him. And I think that this is what people may want to get a transcript of this interview and use some of this wording and send it to him at his websites and say, look, dear President Obama, we need desperately for your help in this new emancipation of the people of the world from the economic slavery and from our addiction to the oil and gas and coal interests, and that the solutions exist. They do not have to be started from zero. We have, for example, in our network, a man, I've referred to this person before, who is probably the most, one of the most brilliant physicists and engineers living today, who is not being permitted to work with us because of the reach of these covert interests. But he has built systems that he could rebuild for us within 3 to 6 months, that if the president were to give an executive order permitting him, we would have these free energy systems available that could then go to mass distribution to the people of the world, and that would liberate us from the economic slavery that the world is collapsing under today. And that, you know, this is just one example of what the new thinking and a new president can do. But he won't do it without hearing from you, the people. So it's time for people to quit being passive and to understand that there is now someone in the Oval Office, and there are people in other countries around the world who are looking to the United States for leadership on this. I have been told this explicitly by senior government officials in Japan, China, France, United Kingdom, and other countries. So the United States, which is still about a third of global economic activity, even though we're only about 4% of the world's population, must understand that there is an enormous responsibility that comes with the kind of wealth and power we have, and that we, the people, have a responsibility to ask of our leaders that they take this kind of action, because now is not the time for incremental steps. Now is the time for bold change and a bold new direction. And we need you, all of you, to help us in making that a reality by your assistance at disclosureproject.org and the orionproject.org, but also in contacting this new president and your representatives and saying, we want to see real change happen, and here's how it can happen.
I definitely will get this transcribed, because I think it's really important that people get this wording down. And you know, and you've said before, too, that anything we do on Earth is non-locally affecting not only Earth, but the entire cosmos, and vice versa. But what we're doing right now is so critical, because we have to jump on this wave right now of this universal cycle that we're entering. And we have to make the changes. And we're at such a critical time on Earth that if we don't, the Earth just can't take much more of this.
That's right. That's exactly correct. And so, you know, if this were 1950, I would say, well, you know, maybe there could be some incremental changes and we could make it through. But this is 2009, and all the Earth herself, who is a conscious being, Gaia is a conscious spiritual being. She is telling us in many ways that we have overburdened her systems, her immune system, her air, her water, even geophysically, and that this can't continue for much longer. And little teeny baby steps that are just going to squeeze a little more efficiency out of the internal combustion engine, or be burning biofuels instead of gasoline, or, clean coal. They want to put billions and billions, something like $30 billion into clean coal, when not far from where I live, they're literally blowing up all of the pristine mountains of the Appalachian and Blue Ridge Mountains so that they can do what's called mountaintop removal, MTR. Go look it up. They are literally have, in the last decade, destroyed an area the size of Delaware, where they have blown up the mountaintops so that they can have these enormous machines and shovels scoop the coal out. So even if you find a way to burn the damn stuff in a clean way, the way they're extracting it from the earth is destroying the earth, the air, the water, the streams, the wildlife, poisoning all the streams with all this detritus from the mining operations. It is an absolute environmental holocaust going on right now, and people don't realize that more than half of the electricity in this country is coming from burning coal, just as we did in the late 1800s. So, you know, we are not going to fix this problem by tinkering around the edges, and this is why this new president and your representatives need to hear from you about and refer to the OrionProject.org and DisclosureProject.org and say, look, we need really bold action. We need real change. And we need for people to be educated on these issues and not go down the path of conventional wisdom, sort of academic incrementalism, because we're just flat out of time to do that. We cannot do it. And I have been told by officials in other governments that if the United States now doesn't act in a bold way, that they will. And you know what? America will be left behind. And we can't afford to have America left behind. You know, I'm a very much view myself as a world citizen. In fact, I view myself as a universal citizen. But I am also very proud of the United States. My mother's family were some of the original founders of the United States. They were the first POWs with the British in the founding of this country. And I take very seriously the spiritual role and destiny that America has in the world. But we have really, really dropped the ball on these issues. And we cannot allow the United States to completely become irrelevant in the real change that needs to happen in the world. And this is why we have to exhort and educate our leaders, including President Obama, on these issues.
Well, as you've said before, we really need to take ownership of our spiritual evolution right now, because we're right at that point where other civilizations that came before us, like Atlantis and some of those, we're at that point where they were when they didn't take ownership and they were destroyed.
Correct. That's correct. And see, this is the great challenge that any civilization that reaches our level of development reaches, and that is that we reach a point where the United States and the other advanced countries around the world cannot in any way delay what should have begun in the early 1900s. And if you go to the OrionProject.org, you will see that, in fact, Tesla, Nikola Tesla, and this guy named Stubblefield had an Earth battery, a version of which I saw down in one of the islands of the Caribbean back in 2003, I believe it was, that was extracting energy from the magnetic and electromagnetic field around it, running this man's farm. And they actually took it to Washington and demonstrated it. But, of course, it's been reported that, in fact, I have a document, and it's in the Disclosure Project documents. You must get this at disclosureproject.org. There's a two-hour DVD that has a 550-page briefing document in there. And one of the documents in there is a request by the Pentagon to the FBI that they give up the materials that they, quote, took from Nikola Tesla's records at the time of his death, and which they suppressed and sequestered. It was this kind of information that was suppressed and sequestered by nefarious and illegal actions within our intelligence community in the United States and in other countries as well. And we have these documents. These are uncontested, authentic government documents that we have acquired. And I recommend that people read them and read them carefully and meditate on their implications. And the implication is quite clear, that we haven't needed oil and gas and coal or centralized utilities for 100 years, literally 100 years. And here we sit in 2009 getting 50-some percent of our electricity from coal like we did in the late 1800s. with no real progress. We think that we've evolved, but even jet engines were invented in the 1930s. Rockets, people think, oh, well, it's someone, so-and-so's a rocket scientist. You know what? Rockets were from the 40s. That was Wernher von Braun for Adolf Hitler in, like, 1943. The point is we are have been completely hijacked as a civilization by these corrupt financial and oil and energy interests, and there's no changing it unless the people speak with one voice and very clearly outline actions for the new president, the new Congress, and also that we independently, knowing, of course, that often government fails us, no matter who's at the helm, that we independently, through the OrionProject.org, get the funding in place so that we can recreate these types of wondrous new technologies, which in a sense aren't that new, but they would be new to the world because most of the world doesn't know them, and bring them out to the public for peaceful applications and the generation of clean and abundant energy that would lift the world out of poverty and would give us an entirely new economic system based on abundance and sustainability. And this is really the big challenge facing us on Earth. And then you add to that the challenge of how do we make contact with these extraterrestrial visitors who are quite alarmed at the fact that we have not taken these actions for 100 years and have seen us go off our evolutionary course. And they stand ready to welcome us into space with open arms if, and this is the big if we can unite as a world civilization in peace, go into space in peace and not with weapons of mass destruction, and engage in open contact with them for the benefit of all of humanity and in a way that is peaceful to other worlds. This is one of the great challenges. And in this sense, world peace and universal peace are two sides of the same coin, because at the instant that we achieve a just world and a just economic system and world peace, we will also have universal peace and contact, because these visitors have been around for a long time. I don't think it's a recent event. It certainly doesn't date to Roswell. There are records in France. There's a cave that has a caveman drawing that's been carbon dated about 5,000 years ago that shows an ET craft. It looks exactly like a disc hovering with these ET beings outside of it. The Nazca lines in Peru are thousands of years old. You know, these visitors have been around for a very long time watching our evolution as a people. And as you have pointed out, Linda, we're at this point now where we're going to go the way of Atlantis or Lemuria or Mu or one of these, some of these continents that just sunk in a great catastrophe if we don't lift ourselves up and start a civilization that is peaceful, interplanetary, universally at peace, but also using advanced technologies for our living on this planet in a way that is not damaging the Earth and the Earth's biosphere and the Earth's systems, including its atmosphere and its waterways. So this is something that is achievable. I mean, the very good news, and this is a message of great hope that the president needs to hear, because he spoke so much about hope, and he wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. The Audacity of Hope. And it is this, that we have the solutions to all these seemingly enormous problems, which really, with some united action from the people and from the government working with the people and from this new president, we can bring out all these new technologies, make peaceful contact with these extraterrestrial visitors, and lead our civilization into an entirely new era of a peace and abundance, if we intend to make that so. And there are going to be many people, the cynics and the old wags and the old school people, saying, oh, it can't be done and we shouldn't do it and it's too much change too quickly, to which I say, nonsense. This is time to do it. It is way past time, in fact, and that it is essential that we make these changes now and not try to delay it for another 10 or 20 or 50 or 60 or 100 years, because, frankly, we don't have another 100 years. It needs to happen immediately.
And President Obama, when he was elected, that gave hope not only to people of the United States but people of the whole world. I mean, the whole atmosphere changed into one of hope. And if he and his administration could get on board with the Orion Project, it would solve so many of the problems he's addressing all at once. You know,
yes, and I think the other thing is to understand that, you know, I remember when President Clinton was elected, and it was at the end of the Cold War, and, you know, I was starting CSETI and discussing these issues back in 1990 and 92 and 93, and as all of you know, I briefed President Clinton's first CIA director on this issue back in December of 1993, a few months after he took office. And, you know, we had great hope there as well. What happened, however, is that the president was surrounded by people who told him it was too risky to make these changes, you see. And so here we are 16 years later, unfortunately, still using oil and gas, still with the coal being used to generate electricity, still with this rogue element representing the people of the Earth illegally, targeting and shooting at these extraterrestrial vehicles with very advanced electromagnetic weapon systems, still with unchecked secret power running rampant over the globe and running our planet into the ground. And when is this going to change? You know, and I think this is why the people have to say, now's the time for this. And we agree with the message of change and the message of hope, but we need to give voice to the specific direction that this needs to go in. It has to be much bolder than clean coal. It's got to be much bolder than simply redoing the centralized electric grid and using biofuels. It must be more enlightened than the idea of an incremental change in the way we're living, which ultimately leaves 80% of the world's population in mind-numbing poverty. I mean, because let's be very clear, the Chinese, with 1.3 billion people, in no wise are going to adopt wind and solar, because the expense of that and the cost of it and the logistics of doing it are such that it leaves most of their people in poverty, and they don't have the resources to do it. So what are they doing? They're putting online at least one new coal-fired power plant a week, every week.
Wow.
For the next decade. And so even if all of the United States went to windmills and solar power, the amount of pollution being dumped into the atmosphere by India and China is going to double or triple the pollution and the CO2 and the global warming and greenhouse gases, even if the United States went to zero, because you've got 1.3 billion people in China and 1.2 billion in India. Added up, that's 2.5 billion people to our 300 million people. So there, if you look at this, it is an existential crisis that requires bold action, real change, and real leadership, which the people have to inform the president that these baby step ideas around clean coal and biofuels is really too little, too late. And in fact, recently I saw a report that a major environmentalist who has been very involved in the global warming issue said that all of the plans that are on the conventional plans that are on the table to address the climate collapse and the energy crisis and other problems around the world are too little, too late. And I couldn't agree more. Now, he didn't go on to say that there are these other solutions, because most people don't know about them. And this is why everyone listening needs to send everyone that they know and on their email list to the orionproject.org to get educated. We have just recently this week put up the amazing Kolosky Frost experiment from 1928, I believe it is, the late 20s, where in Germany a group of scientists using radio frequencies were able to put a signal at a certain frequency, a certain oscillating frequency, on a copper box, a very heavy copper box that had within it a 100 millimeter cube of pure silicon quartz crystal. And that quartz crystal began to resonate when it hit the sweet spot and expand, and then the entire object in the entire box, heavy, lifted and levitated and floated for as long as they kept that frequency on there. This was in a mainstream German radio frequency journal in the late 1920s, 80 years ago. And yet we're still building roads and bridges using bulldozers and plowing over fertile farmland to put superhighways in, when we haven't needed surface travel between the cities since Eisenhower started the interstate highway system in the 1950s. So this is not a matter of speculation on my part. Go to the OrionProject.org and read about these breakthroughs and look at what has happened and think about it for a minute, that these solutions exist. They have been hidden away from the public and actively suppressed. Some inventors have even been killed. But the scientific issues actually have already been figured out, all of them. And so the good news, the message of great hope, is that we do not need to start with the beginning of a research and development program. We just need the funding support and the support from the people to get these systems recreated and demonstrated and out to the public. You can't do that with a couple of $100,000. You're going to need to have a real laboratory and real engineers. This is not so simple that you can do it in the back of in the trunk of your car or something. But it's certainly something that has been done and can be done. And there's really no reason why 2009 can't be the year of the disclosure of these new energy systems, peaceful contact with these extraterrestrial civilizations, disclosure that we're not alone in the universe, and a whole new course set for our civilization that can be sustainable, enlightened, and that will give us the ability to evolve as a people in higher states of consciousness so that we take our place, our rightful place, amongst other peoples in the universe as an enlightened people who are, in fact, ourselves interstellar and can travel amongst the stars in peace. So this is the path we need to be set on, and this is the vision that we must share with our new president and with each other and join together arm in arm and make this a reality.
People that go to the OrionProject.org also need to sign up to get on the email list, because the Orion Project sends out some really educational and interesting emails, and the one that went out on Tuesday about precursor engineering and talks about the history, you know, some of these energy from the vacuum machines.
Right.
It's just really, really interesting to
right.
be on this email list.
Right. And also we need support through DisclosureProject.org, because now that we have a friendlier government in place here in the United States, and we have European governments ready to move, CSETI and the Disclosure Project need to ramp up those efforts. And I'm happy to announce that we recently received a very generous $10,000 donation to the Disclosure Project from someone who wishes to remain anonymous. But we need the support of the public, because there's an enormous amount of work we do that is requires travel, that requires doing briefings and meetings for the people, educational programs for the public, that we need the support of the public for. So that's another way that people can get involved. But they can also get involved by also educating the people in their circle, of friends and coworkers and colleagues and family, who can support and learn about DisclosureProject.org and the work we're doing to disclose this information, and the work at CSETI, where we actually train people to become citizen ambassadors to the universe. And our Ambassadors to the Universe training program is open to the public. We're going to have a meeting in the Outer Banks this spring, and the information of our meetings are on CSETI.org, CSETI.org, and we'll have at least four or five of these week-long gatherings this year, where we will have, usually it's around 30 to 40 people, maybe a little more, who will be with us out under the stars till the wee hours of the morning, and we train people in meditation and remote viewing and the use of other technologies, including laser systems and electromagnetic systems, to make contact with these extraterrestrial visitors. And we have never been disappointed. We have never gathered as a team and not had some type of incredible manifestation of extraterrestrial civilizations interacting with us. Sometimes it's a spacecraft. Sometimes it's a electromagnetic signaling that happened, like we had at the amazing Orion transmissions that happened in November in Joshua Tree National Park. Sometimes it's a luminous object that is not fully materialized that moves into the field. Sometimes it's a just all kinds of experiences that happen. But the idea is that everyone should be trained in how to make peaceful contact with these visitors, because that's what they're waiting for. Until the people's representatives on the in the world do this in an enlightened and peaceful and non-militaristic fashion, it's incumbent on us, the citizens of Earth, to say to these visitors, we're here, we are awake and conscious, we understand that you are here waiting for us to answer your call, and we're going to come together as diplomats from Earth, as emissaries, ambassadors from Earth to your people, and interact with them. And that's what we do at these CSETI gatherings. It's a wonderful experience. Not only is it wonderful for people just to learn the meditation techniques and the ability to enter into the state of samadhi, we do a puja, and we train people in meditation techniques, and then we train people in how to remote view distant places and distant points in time. But we also teach people how to interact with these beings and the consciousness behind it and the protocols for diplomatic contact and the type of technologies and electronics we have on site. All of this is done in the course of a week. It's a very intensive training process that some people find completely life-altering and transformative. And this is open to anyone who wants to come, and you can find out about where we'll be doing this. I know that in May we'll be doing this at the Outer Banks, beautiful on the ocean in North Carolina, and then in June or July, I can't remember now, we'll be doing it in Colorado, in Crestone, Colorado, in the Rockies, and then we will be at Mount Shasta in California in, over Labor Day, and then we'll be at Joshua Tree again next November. And if we're lucky, we may be able to work in another event somewhere, but certainly those four will be done this year. And I hope people will participate, because it's an opportunity for people to empower themselves to do what we must do, because until the United States and the other governments and of the world and the United Nations and other institutions take on the task of peaceful contact with these visitors, we have to do it. We, the people, have to do it. And one of the empowering messages I give to people is we don't need to get permission from Barack Obama or the United Nations or President Sarkozy or the Prime Minister Gordon of the United Kingdom or any other leader to do this, because we are all citizens of this planet together, and these visitors are around, and they are awaiting people to initiate contact. And if you open up that possibility, it'll happen. People will have it happen, not only on these expeditions, but then when they return home, they find that they have sightings and contact and amazing events happen that are ongoing in their area. And so these visitors understand that sometimes the government is a leading indicator, that we, the people, are the leaders, actually, and that it's a very grassroots effort, and that if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. And that for 18 years, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, CSETI.org, has been doing this to the point now that our protocols are being studied by diplomats and official people within other G7 countries to see how it can be implemented. I know that they have been waiting for this new administration to come in to step up the pace of this. Even the Vatican, I have to point out to people, this past spring, made comments about the extraterrestrial the existence of extraterrestrial life and et cetera. And most of the people of the world now understand that the UFOs are real, that the ET presence is real. It's something like 80% of the public. And so, you know, these big governmental entities, they tend to take a long time to do anything. But we can do it very quickly, and we have been. And this is why I tell people, don't wait for the UN to act or even for this new administration to act. Learn how to make contact yourself and become a citizen ambassador to the universe and empower yourself and a few other people. You don't need to have a huge team of 100 people. All you need is 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 people who will join with you and go out under the stars somewhere in your area and engage in these protocols. We have an entire meditation training kit that's at disclosureproject.org that you can order. And you can enroll for these week-long ambassador intensives at csetti.org. And it's open to the public. And I tell people that the more that this happens, the more it shifts consciousness in the world. And those of you who are familiar with the work of Rupert Sheldrake and morphogenic fields know that as people join into a certain kind of activity and perfect it, the more it then non-locally propagates, meaning that it affects people all over the world, in fact, all over the universe, in a way that it moves it in that direction. So if we engage in peaceful, open, enlightened, higher consciousness contact with these other interstellar civilizations, this affects the White House. This affects the person in the Elysee Palace. This affects Joe the Plumber. This affects everyone because of the nature of consciousness being this omnipresent field of mind that all of us are integrated through. This is the great internet in consciousness. This is the interconnectivity of each of our awareness to each other through this non-local, unbounded mind that is the source of the light of awareness within every single person on the earth, but also every single being in the cosmos, not just on the earth. And so when we engage in this process together, it literally shifts consciousness and moves things in this direction of peaceful and open contact around the world. And this is why it's so powerful. And this is very empowering because people sometimes, you know, they'll look at the, you know, all the pomp and circumstance of the Oval Office. And I was just at the inauguration events in Washington, D.C., and it was wonderful to be there with 2 million people. But ultimately, everything becomes very personal. It's about each of us making choices and engaging in these activities. And as we do so, we can shift the direction of our civilization. And really, this is where it happens, through meditation, through prayer, through action, and through those of us who understand this joining together to make this change a reality.
Well, you know, I can't recommend CSETI expeditions any, you know, it's just utterly, I can't recommend them more. They're just utterly life-changing. They have been for me. They continue to be for many new people that go on, every one of them. But, you know, one of the stories that you tell at those CSETI trainings that I find so poignant is the story of the young oh, now his name's escaping me, Colonel, who back in the late 40s, early 50s, encountered the ET craft that was barely visible, and the ET on board came out and said and invited him on board, and Colonel Corso said, "What's in it for me?" And the ET said, "A new world if you can take it." And I always think, what if Colonel Corso had been an ambassador to the universe? We could have had just amazing changes occurring way back then.
Yeah, that was in 1956, in the summer of 1956, and here we are 53 years almost later, and I tell people it's time for us to accept the new world that is ready to manifest around us, and it has to manifest through us, the children of the earth, because we are the agents through which the vision of a new world manifests in our actions and in the world around us, and that is how it has always been. This is why the ETs can't land on the White House lawn and make it happen. We have to make this happen. We have to be the channels, the avenues, the vector through which this change manifests on the earth, And that's why we have to unite together to do it. And when we do, I think you'll see that this will happen with breathtaking speed, and it'll be so beautiful. Well, we're about out of time. I'd like to thank you, Linda, for joining me today for what I hope has been an enlightening and interesting conversation for everyone. And I invite people to help us by going to the orionproject.org and disclosureproject.org. And please write this new president and refer him to those websites and encourage him to engage in this sort of bold change for the world. But the time for this change has come. If not now, when? And if not us, who? Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank all of you for listening to Conversations with Dr. Stephen Greer, and it's been brought to you by the World Pujan Network, and I'd like to thank all the wonderful people there for hosting us on this program. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dr. Greer, for your amazing call to action on this call. It's just been amazing.
Thank you, Linda. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.